Episode 346 of the Bull Horseman Podcast. I'm running the show today. Big boy ain't here. Shout out to my dog. But to my right, dressed in this lovely green. She's added beauty to the set. Would you agree?
I would say she is added some shade. Yes.
And your outfit matches silk to us.
Brief me.
But
we have the lovely. I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
What's going on, y'all? My name's Armory. Glad to be here with y'all. I'm on the bullet for status. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's your dance. So her right, we have the number one DJ in Houston.
Speak it. You gonna speak
my guy, dude. Man, what's up, Sil?
Man, shipping, man.
Let's jump into it. We got so many topics, but of course, I'm gonna discuss like y'all week. How was y'all week this week?
Man, I ain't gonna lie, my week was it was struggling, but trying to get through. Got a lot of gems that I had to realize that I need to get together. But for the most part, it was a great week.
Okay. What about you, Sil?
Productive.
Oh, that's me.
Throwing an event. I had an announcement on the pod, Jay, so here we go.
Okay.
June 1st, 6:30, right here in this very space that we're
shooting
podcast.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a live DJ focus concert. Right? Shout out to all of the DJs that are throwing their own everything. You know what I'm saying? You got Firehouse with Trey Stacks and Bruce Wayne, it's on the Styles. You got Sugar Room with Chris. So shout out to everybody that's doing what they're doing. And it's a good way for us to like really play what we want. Okay. And that's the whole kind of premise of this event. It's all the exchange. We're just exchanging energy all day long. You know what I'm saying? We're giving our energy y'all and y'all giving right back to us. We got DJ Reggie Bernard. We got Tay Powers. And we got myself. So three DJs, endless vibes, just a great time. So come expecting to hear every type of music.
Okay.
Every type of music.
Man, that's a beautiful
June 1st.
June 1st. Market calendars for that.
Yeah, so it's been real productive, man. Making some headway on that, finishing some things up. Promoting it. So it's been good, man.
That's good. For me, I had a good week.
What Betty Brown doing?
Two things happened. Okay. First thing that everybody, my phone was smoking yesterday, this morning, the day before yesterday, because of our previous guest and the situation that he got going on. But, everybody just DMing it. Oh, it's perfect timing for the interview. No, it's not. No, we all
single by you.
That's not how we operate here with Bull Boys. And I wouldn't even repost it. That we interviewed Leon. This is not a time to celebrate.
That's nasty.
You know, that's nasty. Or they don't do that here. So, tired y'all, you know, reaching out to me saying, oh, you see this? You see that? Hey, man, this. Everybody got to go through what they got to do.
Prayers to everybody.
Prayers to everybody in a situation. So I want to address that first and foremost. And then second, my son had a game yesterday. He goes off. I told the fellas this earlier before we got on camera. Great. Went off. They win the game. After the game, you know, they go shake each other hand. He tells one of the kids, BTA, nigga.
Damn.
I don't know that this is going on.
His first YM.
Right.
So, coach, after the game, coach had him outside the gym.
Run their coach here, because I know they coach.
The other coach hurt. And he told Carter's coach. So, but they didn't know who said, though. He is the key. Stay with me.
They said, okay.
So, we go outside. So, coach is talking. He say, anybody that displays poor sportsmanship will not play next week. So all the parents kind of looking like, well, you know, what coach talk about? But the kids, you right?
Hey.
So we get in the car and, I say, Carter, what happened? Like, oh, they said I said something.
Nobody said that.
They say, who was they? Well, the coach said that I said something, but they didn't know what player it was. I say, Carter, tell me the truth. Nothing. Now, we had this thing where he must tell me the truth. Like, me and you have to have a trust factor. I got to believe what you're saying. You have to believe what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. So the man proceeds to tell me, yeah, well, it was a guy walking by me. He was number 20. And they said number 20 did it. I say, that's your team. Now, you don't know his name? I said, you lying. Tell me the truth. Yes, sir, I did it.
Say all that. You say, if there's
what the hell? I said, what exactly did you say? PTA. So me, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you said bitch? Oh, sir. No, sir. I didn't say the big word. I said, what was it? He was like, Belter. I say, oh, Belter ass? I said, okay.
No, I see who you are. Because I know your dad, but at this point. In your field mind.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck it right. Yeah.
So be out the car so I can explain to his mom, you know, what's going on here. I'm really like, okay, well, so you got a lot of advice. Okay, that's cool. Cause you raised in the suburbs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's a difference, right? But, I told him that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Me and your mom don't raise you like that.
Yeah.
So I'm big on showing the kid there's consequences for actions. So I called coach right in front of the coach. He not playing this game. Coach is baked all field.
He can't get anything that he just said.
He called himself a snitch.
I'm a snitch.
This is the coach saying. Don't lie. I swear to God.
So I say, nah, coach, just hear me out. Carter made up a lie to me. That's what really make him either making me not let him play. And so coach like, man, I understand. I say, but tomorrow, Sunday, when you get him, he gonna be the best player you got. I feel. So we get home. I give him a little speech. I put him on the wall, make him do a little wall scenes to his legs tremble and shit.
Discipline?
Yeah, I got to. I don't like whooping him. I ain't really with the whooping shit. I might
punch you a couple times, you know.
Stop. No, you got it. I'd rather me do it than the police.
Hello?
You feel me? I do that to him and then.
Like yellow chest.
Yeah. But not
saying cool. Cool. Just clean it up.
Nah, they know, man. Cool. I know I should have put, but nah, I appreciate you telling me that.
But, so I go through it. I go down there with him. I tell him, like, this is not about what you said. This is more about you lying. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to be a liar. You say, I have done enough lying for the both of us. You don't need to continue that.
No.
We're stopping it. And so we nipped it in the bud, man. Got a call with a text this morning. Play of the game. So discipline works.
Yeah.
You just got to be consistent with it. And I don't let nothing go over my head. You know, sometimes you'd be like, no, I let that go. No. I point it out. Point it out, man. Because these kids need discipline. Because there's some bad kids.
And as a coach, you know, I know he wanted his best player to play.
Yeah, he did.
But you go further with your team by holding him accountable. That's all. And so it's like, oh, if you treat number one like that, I know I got trouble on.
No, sure. That's you right there. All right. So we got so many topics to jump into. So the first topic is this Houston Mount Rushmore. All right. So I guess they came over some. I don't know if it was 97 out of the box or whatever it was, but local radio station here in Houston. But they had the Mount Rushmore. Here's who's on the Mount Rushmore. Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me set the tone. A Mount Rushmore, there's only four spots. So there's only four heads on the Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. You have Beyonce. You have Scarface, Slim Thug, and Pow Wow.
And these are artists.
These are all artists. This is music.
Mount Rushmore.
Artists, Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Tell me how you feel about those four being on a Houston Mount Rushmore.
I can rock a Beyonce being on there.
Okay.
Scarface.
Okay.
And this is no shade to any of the artists that are on there. For sure, to everyone, Commander Houston is really, really good. But I'm surprised that I don't see one be on there. And even though people have their ups and downs with this particular artist, he is still for Houston. He's taken off in so many different areas. I'm surprised they don't have Travis Scott on there.
Okay. Okay. Travis Scott, hold it now for sure. What about you, Sue?
Yeah, I'm saying Scarface on Untouchable. You be on the wall. Slim Thug is on the Mount Rushmore, just on the Mount Rushmore of outside. He's in the Hallelujah Hall of Fame.
Yeah, nah, that's for sure.
But not on the artist list for me. And I love Slim Thug's music.
Yeah, me too.
And if you hadn't heard it, his project with Propane is fire.
Yeah, yeah, it is dope.
But I digress. I take off Slim and I replace him with Travis.
Okay.
Just because Travis's music has left the United States.
Literally.
And of that list of people that's on there, I think only Beyonce can really stake that claim in Houston. You know what I'm saying? Unless you go to Japan, you got some hip hop heads that fuck with Scarface. But I like Paul Wall being on that list. But I think somebody's behind him and could replace that soon. And that's Tony.
Ooh, I forgot. Tony, great.
I think what Toby has done organically without a record label, without any real work of anybody outside of himself and his team to garner all of the brand deals that he's gotten. He's got to deal with Moncler. He got shoes with Reebok. His color is trademarked. Ben Met color, I think, is trademarked. Like, he's done a lot from SWAT.
And for the community.
And the things that he does for the community, the messages that's in his music, the way that he has transformed how he shoots videos, everything he's done, I think he belongs on that Mount Rushmore.
I agree, George.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm a Houston nigga. You know, shout out to Toby. He absolutely has did an amazing job. But I'm from the south side of Houston, Texas, man. Lil Kiki, that has to be on the list, without a doubt. DJ Screw has to be on the list without a doubt. There is just no.
But we're talking artists.
He's an artist.
For sure.
He rap. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He put him on the Mount Rushmore for his rapping or for what he did for the culture.
If we have a Mount Rushmore Houston, this is musical impact. When you think of Houston, you think of Screw, Swankers, Kelly Paints, or Sir Double Cup.
He birthed that culture.
That's all Screw.
Yeah.
That's true.
How could we not have him on there?
I
mess with Paul Wall. You feel me? I know the Grills thing when Houston had Rap Game on chokehold in like 2005.
Yeah.
Grills was one crazy. Paul Wall got features with Kanye, Nelly. You know, he did some big things. But no cultural impact like DJ Screw. And Lil Kiki. Say, man, there's nothing more Houston than Lil Kiki.
Yeah.
High breed, boy, 1,000%.
Telling what I know. Like, we have some other great artists here, you know, from the Sauce Walkers to Travis, of course. We have up and coming rappers coming up. But Lil Kiki set the stage for everything. His first album. It's almost like and I'm gonna say it's loosely, but it's like a blueprint, it's like a Jay-Z blueprint.
Yeah.
Like, don't mess with tastes. Yeah. Bitamente. Like, this is real. So, my Rushmore would be Beyonce. Shout out to B. Scarface for sure. You know, you gotta really listen to Scarface music to know he from Houston. Mm-hmm. But he's Houston, been running through, mm-hmm. talk about his hood, every kid, yeah. all through. Lil Kiki and DJ Screw. That's my all words.
Four is really tough.
And at the end of the day, it's gonna come down to preference.
Yep, that's it.
And like just my stuff that you listen to, but the two that you really can't deny on any level is Beyonce and Fake.
Yeah. We
from whatever perspective.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so Mr. Shedeur Sanders, man. Before we even jump into the topic, we seen him fall. We seen him and his family on Instagram, you know, saying that, you know, God is going, he covers all, he sees it, right?
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about him dropping and seeing this? Like this is crazy to see.
Listen, here is it. This is the worst screw job since Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, bro. I watched it develop because when he was at Jackson State and they were doing all of that for HBCUs, they was over there doing all of that. It was big. He's doing so much. He raised, you know, brought so many eyes to HBCU football and blah, 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 blah. To when they go to Colorado. Mm-hmm. Now it's questions. Mm-hmm. That's when it started. Mm-hmm. Now it's questions. They beat TCU and then they have a horrible season.
Yeah.
Still questions. Mm-hmm. But Shador's not really catching much. They're still talking about how good of a quarterback he is, how smart he is, how fast he processes, how quick he gets the ball out, how accurate he throws.
Super accurate.
Going in last season. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal year, 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns on 10 interceptions. He was sacked the most of any Division I quarterback. So we know he's tough. He can stand in the pocket. If anybody else does that, they're tough. They stand in the pocket. They deliver. His completion percentage is so high.
Thanks.
This whole week, when I watched them talk about Shedeur, everything they said about him had shit to do with football. And the things that they said about him, football-wise, in between the lines, in the film room, in the quarterback room, was all positive.
Yeah.
He processes fast. He gets it out quick. He's great in film. He breaks down defenses. But they talk about it as if the tone was, it was an afterthought. Like, he could do all of that. But nobody ever gave a clear answer, except for Colin Cowherd. He's the only person that I heard say humility and humble throughout his little monologue about Shedeur. Why is it that our quarterbacks have to humble themselves? They have to be meek. They can't
say our black quarterbacks.
Black.
Yeah.
That, because the write-up for us for a long time was, they're just athletic. They aren't great passers. And then you can't deny the numbers that Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes and all and Randall Cunningham and Warren Moon and OG black quarterbacks. Yeah. But now it comes down to, now we're looking at personality traits.
That's great.
He's confident.
Sexy.
He's cocky. He has zero off the field incidents ever in life.
None.
I've seen dudes punch their girlfriends on camera. I've seen guys be indicted for murders.
Yep.
Yeah.
And get drafted.
You talking.
This kid has no problems other than he thinks highly of himself. And he comes from a good black family.
Exactly.
No. Be specific. Who we come from.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders.
But that's so confusing because Deion is beloved by the league.
By black people, he's beloved.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
That don't mean that all the white people, they just had to deal with it because you can't deny bro talent.
I'm just tired of seeing, we've never seen anything like this. Mel Kiper is
screaming on the inside.
He bad. He bad.
Because he knows how wrong everybody is. He knows that this is some bullshit.
It's really heartbreaking because it's like, when are we going to ever put that stigma away of tearing down the black man? Like, they don't think about the afterthought of how he's even feeling right now. Because he's like, I don't put my hard work in this. I done shed tears and feel my dad. I've traveled to different states of my dad. You know what I'm saying? And just played under his leadership. And so I think it's just unfortunate because you just never know what somebody's really going through. You never back and send him in a depression to where he would never even want to put his full effort in something ever again.
And that's what they want to get us to break, you know. But he have a strong support system now. Here's where I say, and this goes back to me disciplining court. You have to be humble. Yep. And defeat or in a win. If you on top of stuff or you down low, stay humble. Stay even killed at least.
Yeah.
You know, and Shador, this is tough for me to say, but you're not as talented as your dad was. Your dad could come in there in a warm up suit and whatever they say he did come in there, blim mowing, you know, and he could tell you. He could talk to a honer and say, oh, what pick you are? What pick you got? Six pick? Oh, I'll be gone by that time. You not your pops. Now, I know pops is skilled at it to him. The confidence, the charisma, all that's going to sell. As you can see, his signature is the money side, legendary.
Yeah.
That's going to sell, but I would like for she to do it just to tone it down a notch. I think this is going to do it for him because I think that it's a blessing in disguise.
I agree with that. You know, I agree with it's a blessing in disguise, but I don't like the public whipping for a situation that I feel like this is. Yeah, I posted on my story. This is butt breaking at its wild.
Oh, man, you talk about it.
This is the league showing that, oh, you only would come by. Oh, you don't want to do the interviews. They started talking about his interviews and saying how it was the worst interviews. And
on that, can he play
it? Not, but using words like that is subjective. Your worst to you may be because he said some fly shit like his dad said. But every other question you ask him, he answered.
Do they still take the Wonderlic tests for the quarterback?
I'm not sure.
Cause Bjorn, they don't let them take them on. Okay. All right. I was about to say, cause Vince Young had a horrible, it don't matter about
can you hit the ball from the pocket to the end zone. Like that's the thing.
Yeah. What are we dissecting here, man? Are we dissecting football? Are we personality?
We are dissecting the fact that the establishment in whatever fashion does not want anybody to buck whatever system they have in place. That's just what it is. And as great as his numbers were, he didn't have the success. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have a national championship to back it up. You know what I mean? But if Mel Kiper Jr., who we've leaned on for decades to give us who the guys are, has him as the number one quarterback, even over Cam Ward. And Cam Ward is a phenomenal quarterback. For Mel Kiper Jr. to say that, like, I'm watching him on the draft coverage, and it's like he's just wanted to let the whole taste.
He's serious, man.
Because it's like y'all are lying.
Yeah.
Y'all are lying right now. And this for the Browns. I'm sorry to cut you off. But then for the Browns to pick up, they got four quarterbacks already. They moved up to draft one.
It's a sad situation. Go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say that it's just showing the dirty side of the political game in this league that people don't even realize takes place on a regular basis.
You're good on this. It's messed up though, for sure. I was sad seeing it. You know what I mean? But I know that, what's my boy, Lamar Jackson went through it. Last man in the green room. It made everybody pay.
Yeah,
he's made everybody pay himself.
And he was a Heisman, correct?
Who?
Lamar.
Yeah.
Heisman. Like, how you make him sit? Because he don't, one, look like the prototypical quarterback that you want to look like. Not a pretty boy Jalen Hurts or anything like that. And then he speaks up for himself.
Well, you need love Jalen Hurts.
I'm just saying, he's not that. You know, you agree with me. He's not that. And but he speaks up for himself.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into some shots.
Shots fired.
That's a joke into you, man. Come on, come on.
Speaking of just the NFL draft and things of that nature, there was a post that resurfaced from CeeDee Lamb's situation when it came down to his ex-girlfriend. I don't know if y'all not going to see. But do y'all remember this deal right here? Eva Elbrayman. Yeah. Was at the very beginning. But this is where this was in the mid-draft where, look, so in that moment, she grabs his phone and he first takes it back. So this is my thing right here because she went on to share how ever since then she's become a public meme.
Are they still together?
No,
absolutely. There's no.
Yeah, he warned me. Shut that down immediately.
Yeah.
So she expressed how she became a public meme ever since then. And she went on Instagram like a few days ago, like right when the draft was going on. And she was just saying how she went through like a very depression state where she almost wanted to take her life. And she was just like, ever since then, she just isn't, you know, she's just never been the same. But of course, she recovered from that. And of course, we'll play the other video and like what she said, what she has said. But I want to mention what she like read. And hold on 1 second. So she said, I truly believe that moment, although dark and trying, made me realize who I am today. I had full intentions of taking my life after suffering that humiliation, but God himself kept me. So that just in itself just made me think about some kind of to-do points. As if you're a lady, if you got your man, if you are even grateful enough to be in that presence while he's doing that draft element, just kind of, you know, just chill, you know? So I'm going to get y'all some to-do points because it's just unfortunate to know that just that one silly decision that she made caused her just humiliation and wanted her to take her life in that whole element. And so we just got to be careful about that. But
your faith, get to your campuses. Sit smack and see.
My man, how you been to do that on the mic? That was
you were okay.
That was rude. Okay.
You're fine because I've personally been at draft parties, you know, and I know.
Hold on, right. Kelly, before we even get to the relationship part of it, can we please stop weaponizing mental health so people can feel sorry for you?
Man, you grabbing her phone did not.
You right on.
I know I'm not supposed to say shit like this, but big up. Like, you wasn't about to kill yourself, but I ain't gonna see no means of that for real.
Me neither.
Like, nah. Like, stop.
You right on my point with the rules.
Okay.
You right on my point with the rules.
Let me figure it up a little bit. What's up? Maybe she did. But I do see a lot of people who weaponize mental health and on the like, that's a real thing.
It really is.
And we got to stop doing that for like clicks and just
trying to keep people on your side.
All right, you're here, Rock. My God,
not me. Y'all are right on point because
about the jump in my skin.
We're going to run this.
It's good hearing that perspective because people do use mental health as a weapon and it's just crazy. So rule number one, okay? Just be thankful that you are in the room because I've literally been there. Y'all can see how we have like cameras. It's a whole production just because y'all see that. I was scared for public relations.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Love
it. I was
taught I was doing PR for her and they got dragged into the taxi, so shout out to them. Anyway, so I know how crazy it is. You got your family there. You got people from down the street. You have news stations just coming, depending on what's taking place. You got the neighbors knocking at the door because they see all what's going on. So it's a lot of things that take place. So just be grateful that you are in the room. That's rule number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is be mindful of your actions. Okay. Just because you all see the camera roll, it doesn't mean somebody spawned isn't rolling. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful because as you see, those things can be reposted, be replayed, and then look, once it's out there, it's out there.
And that looked like the camera was just running, period.
Thanks.
Yeah, just the way it was set up.
And she looked so embarrassed. She was like, try to laugh, but I'll wait. Let me not get into that. And I'm rolling with three. Don't be petty, okay? Just don't be petty. And last but not least, rule number four, do not even think about reaching to grab your man's phone or even just wanting to touch it, because you shouldn't even be going through a song anyway. And you have the news there. You are nationally syndicated because there's so much that takes place. Because like I said, I've been there before. So you have people calling, like before they announce the number, they're signing on the phone and calling you saying, hey, we're getting ready to do X, Y, and Z.
And I think Shador did this too, but you buy a phone specifically for NFL teams to call it.
Exactly, because it's so many things. You got agents hitting you up. You got people from just all over just hitting you up. So that was just dumb on her part, but I didn't say it like that. But just serious, he was just kind of dumb on her part. So I just really wanted to say, like, y'all got to just be careful. You can't be so wrapped up in what you think someone else is going to think, trying to, like, prove a point. Because for what reason? Why are you grabbing his phone? And now you're embarrassed, and I play it for some.
Y'all know something that I learned?
Well,
through my relationship therapy, you don't own nobody. Yeah. When we get in relationships with people, people feel like you're mine.
Damn.
There you go.
Men do it. Women do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships will work better if you understand you don't own someone. You cannot say, he's mine. He's not yours. Unless you're married.
Yeah.
Legally, he's not yours.
Yeah.
It don't matter if you've been together 10 years or 2 months. There's no ownership in a person, right? And so what made her feel comfortable to grab his phone? She probably did it before. Because she looked comfortable getting the phone. But there's a time and a place for everything.
Exactly.
Right? And so you have to know that when these cameras rolling and your man, boyfriend, whatever he is to you, is a top-tier athlete, just relax.
just relax.
Let it be.
Because if it's a rookie, you probably not going to be there for long.
Because they don't know what they... Their life is about to completely change. Completely.
180.
And
I saw a glimpse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was a spottish.
Yeah.
We had a conversation.
Just a little glimpse.
We had a conversation before the pod started. I went to the Warriors team dinner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. And then like, what the hell? The finest of everything.
Everything.
People don't understand. And we can kind of transition into the NBA playoffs and stuff like that. But people don't understand that what we are watching on TV, you cannot do.
No.
You might think, okay.
I should look there if it's the last nigga on the bench. Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it. And these athletes are so top tier. They're going to get top tier treatment. Mm-hmm. Is it fair? I think so.
I think
they entertain millions of people. Day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
For you to get a glimpse of that and just see, doesn't it piss you off like, damn, I got a nigga. You know what
I mean? I think Peyton Bag is like, I was right fucking there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's close to seeing it.
Yeah.
Brock, you worked with so many athletes and things like that. You see like the top tier, how they trick him and stuff like that. Are you amazed by it?
I am amazed by it in just how should I say this? Woo, I don't want to get in trouble, but I see the good side, okay. But I've also worked with, or let's just say I've encountered individuals who they had it all and it kind of makes them act as if they're a baby in a sense.
Oh.
Where they have to like have things done for them. Like they don't had to put their hands on it. And so that just blows my mind. So I'm just seeing the different sides, just the different lives they live. And I want to share other things too, but it's just, how should I say this?
Come on, give it to us.
You'll be surprised. A lot of them live double lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's a constant revolving door indeed that like I've been in a sweet spot of seeing, like being little sister around certain things. I see so many of a fly on the wall, and I hear the conversations. I absorb so many different things, but I also love the brilliance that they have and how they truly care about what they're doing. They have passion behind playing basketball, whether it's also football too. So it's interesting to see academics like that.
You know, our financial person isn't here, but LP, he would speak with me on this, but when you are young and black and you're coming into that much money, man, you don't know how to act. We are not taught financial literacy. You know? You feel me? A lot of, man, you don't understand though. It's more pressure with the money than them to go perform.
That's yeah. True.
The performing is natural. Having this money and access to all of this amazing things that your mind couldn't even fathom.
Yeah.
That's different.
Speaking of that, man, I coached a kid, and when I was coaching high school, it was a pretty prominent area in Houston. I saw Houston. And I had a kid who was on the bus. And we had talked about like the stock market before. And he told me that he, you know, his dad put some stuff in like for him as far as investments.
Yeah.
One. That's point one.
Yeah.
Point two. Coach, I got in trouble, man. I was like, what you doing? And I took some money out of my investment. I sold some stock off and took the money.
Oh, shit.
And I knew why he got in trouble, but, and it was because of the unrealized gains, right? You get taxed for everything that you make in the stock market. He didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a lesson that he learned at 14.
Wow.
I didn't learn that lesson until just 32. When I first started even like looking into investing, I never even knew what to do. It was just something that popped up on the news. Well, for him to learn a lesson about unrealized gains at 14, that speaks to what you're talking about. Like, we just don't get it. And then you just, all of a sudden, you're a broke college student. And then, well, for us, now these kids are rich as soon as they sign to schools. But you come from, you know, asking for money for pizza or gas or whatever to now I just signed a $20 million signing bonus.
Oh, $20 million?
And one time?
Yeah. I applaud the financial advisors that pour into these athletes because getting
the ones that do. Yes.
Exactly. And like I said, I applaud them because there are people who get the advice and that leadership from them, but there are, it's unfortunate others don't and they're blowing their money on other things that they could be taking it and investing in, you know, setting up the life, not only for themselves, but for their family, whether it be for their life, whether it be for their children, just all of those things. Those are key elements. And so a lot of individuals won't tell you that. That's where you have to have a good team down to the financial advisor, down to the publicist, because when it comes to public relations, going back to the interviews that you mentioned, how they were trying to slander, Mr. Sanders, you have to know how to carry yourself during the interview, have to know how to speak, how to understand that you can say no. Like I'm looking straight to the camera because some athletes don't understand that you have the ability to say no. If you don't want to answer a question, you don't have to answer that. But some individuals aren't taught that and they feel like they got to be put on the spot.
And that, I think, because we watched Shador handle this whole situation so well, I think you can rest, and especially when you come from your household where faith is a big thing. One, then fake is a big thing. And two, you know why it happened. Like his dad is, he's in the know.
No.
He hasn't not heard the conversations that they're not speaking of on TV. He knows exactly what's going on. He's told that to both his sons. And they cool. You won't get in. It's just, you ain't gonna get the money you wanted. But we good. It won't be the money.
This is the advice that we giving the people, right? But I'm gonna tell y'all who needs the most advice. Shannon Sharp.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Say. He has thought that got himself in some trouble, man. He has stepped away from ESPN amid allegations of sexual assault. You can hear they put out some video recordings. He made a post, including some text messages that were crazy. What do y'all think, man? I'm me personally, before y'all get into it, this is, it's like Shannon Sharpe don't realize how famous he is at this point. I know that we say Stephen A is at the forefront of Black sports media, and he is.
But the face for the like black people is Shaggy Shaw. So now we all tap in a nightcap. Yeah. We bro, for some reason you just remind us of a crazy uncle that we had.
Oh,
right, tired
uncle. Yeah, a freaky uncle.
Nah, but definitely a freaky uncle.
Freaky
uncle. Right? And so, I mean, 19.
Are we gonna be serious or are we gonna have fun?
Let's do them both us.
Let me both work. Come on, I feel like it's a little bit because it makes me think about, like how you just said, he was getting ready to sign $100 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
That week, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so it just makes me think about the whole thing in retrospect of just from a bird's point of view. Like you said, he was so influential in the black community, just within sports period. You know what I'm saying? He's skyrocketing in so many different plays, took off with Club Shay Shay, things of that nature. And it almost makes me think about the Jonathan Majors situation. When he got into, he was about to have so many things coming out. He was getting ready to be the next up for Marvel.
Yeah.
He was going, just taken up. And here he is with this incident with a Caucasian woman. It makes me think that, how do we not know that this was not, I don't want to say a setup, because at the end of the day, when I say this is a setup, because we all know that we have our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And others know that we have our weaknesses too.
White,
yeah, it is. Sharp is hilarious. His witnesses. Let's be 100%. So why would he even think that he would need to entertain a woman that's 90 years old at that caliber that he's at? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I told you before, Rock.
What?
Men, we're dumb.
Yep.
And we're gonna do something dumb. I said this, what, last week or the week before last?
It's a couple weeks.
Say short, he's smart. Mm-hmm. Here. Down here? He just don't got no self-control, obviously. And I'm one to know that. I'm super smart, but this thing down here will take over you. And yeah. You will lose all smartness that's rested.
Oh, man, how do they have control that?
It's tough. That's what I'm going to say. It's super tough.
Security is how you control that. Mm-hmm. You are not in it. When you don't have that insecurity that drives you to conquer all women that you can conquer, then it's going to drive you.
Yep.
It's going to drive you. That's what fuels you.
Yep.
That attention from women fuels you. And he's a football player. They already have a problem with, they wear helmets.
Yep.
Nobody knows what they look like. Basketball players get all the love because you see their faces during a game, close up shots, they make a basket, they close in, they go to the free throw line, it's closed in. You know who these players are. Even the eighth man off the bench, you know who he is just because you've seen his face. Shannon Sharp is a Hall of Fame football player.
Yeah.
And he probably just now started getting that level of women to where it's just thrown them because now you see his face, you know his profile, yep. He has these huge platforms. That could play a part. And then he's trying to fight. And it's like you got these allegations of you being homosexual. So that may feed into your ego to where it's like, I gotta smash as many women as I can to get these allegations off my back.
Why every time a black man rises, he gotta be gay?
Every time.
When we blow up, if a motherfucker call me gay, I'm gonna shoot them.
Wait, if you really wanna unravel something.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mike, to cut you off. Why is that like the worst thing you can say to a black man is that he's gay, with like to the point where he's ready to defend it with his life?
Yeah, because it's bullshit.
Exactly, it's bullshit. If you're not gay,
yeah,
you're not gay. So my point is, you don't have to go out of your way to prove that you're not gay.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're not gay,
that's true.
I understand that, and I don't wanna get it too far, but you grab a point. You said, why is it that when a black man rises, they always got to put the allegations out there that he's gay? But it just made me think about how in the movie industry, they always put the black man in a dress. There have been some actors who turned it down, like, for instance, Denzel Washington. He turned it down. He said he wasn't doing that. But when we think about all of the other individuals, they put them in a dress.
Well, Denzel was ready to kiss a man in Gladiator.
Did he do it?
Yeah, I mean, did it, but they didn't put it in the movie.
Yeah.
They shot it, but they cut that part out.
Yeah,
they alluded to him being gay the entire movie, but there was no, like, confirmation.
Yeah, it's not bad for if you decide to do that, I believe. I mean, when you're acting, it's an art, right? If they ask you to put a dress on, now would I do it? No, it's up to you. You know, I like the way Martin did. I don't see nothing wrong with Big Mama Top. Oh, I don't see nothing wrong with Chipotle. This stuff brought me so much laughter. How can I now say in hindsight, oh yeah, nah, that's fucked. Nah, it wasn't. It brought me laughter. They job is to make us laugh. And if Martin putting on a dress is what make us laugh, that's what he did. I don't really see no problem in it. Flip it, you are secure in your manhood.
I understand that. That is true. You know, I'm not going to lie, like it, I'm not going to say that it didn't make me laugh. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the retrospect of how many individuals they do that who was white, when was the miss?
I know Wave didn't miss Doubtfire. Yeah, Robert Wave didn't miss Doubtfire.
Which ones this is longer?
Probably ours. It also comes down to what I paid attention to.
Yeah.
They could have had more white men in dressers and monkey roles and things like that that I just don't know about. But if I had to guess, I've seen a lot of our shows where there is a man dressed in women's culture at some point.
Oh,
but it for me, it has to make sense with what's going on. The Dave Chappelle story, you know, he tells about the scene in Blue Street, the robbery scene where Martin's the cop and, you know, he's now throughout the store. That scene was, they suggested that he wears a dress during that scene. He was like, for what? It's going to be funny without it. It's not going to make sense if I just go with a dress on real. And he was like, they pressured him to do it. So I think there is that thing in Hollywood where they want, you know, try to emasculate.
Yeah, like, man,
that just goes to a deeper, darker wormhole that leads on right back to slavery and even before.
The black man is strong. You know, the black man is there. They fear us.
Yeah.
And it's two types of fear from just my observation being on this planet. It's a fear that we're going to do something to them. Mm-hmm. And it's a fear that we're better than them. Mm-hmm. At something that they're doing. And so they want to try to look like most black people hate embarrassment, right? Oh, I'm embarrassed you. I know y'all don't like that. Yeah. In front of your people. You know, and they also know that, like, unwanted attention. Making a man put on a dress and now we having a conversation about it. It's like, yeah, we got, you know, they, it's like a deep thing.
All that goes back to him just kind of being a target in the situation. Tony Busby being the lawyer just,
and that's
so bad because of everything that comes along with the Tony Busby name.
Yeah.
But it's some twists and turns in this motherfucker that's a little wild. Did y'all hear Matt Barnes? There was a clip that came out, and I'm not sure. Was it AI?
Chat?
Was it AI?
That was true.
That was AI?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
You can't even tell now.
Yeah. Shaq came.
Shannon trying to hush her up for $10 million. That's a nice little twist.
You are not taking it.
I'm going to tell you why.
I don't know why he did it. But
why you think he did?
I think he did so that freaky shit that he do don't come out. I think it goes back to what Rock was saying. These niggas live double lives for real.
Yeah.
And that's, you just maybe not want that out there.
What could he have been doing that he did not want to see? Couldn't man eat coochie?
No. So I think the tape that he's talking about, the tape that he said, I released the whole series. But I think they were able to turn that down to fit the narrative of sexual assault.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And he's saying, though, put the whole shit out. Now, what this looks like to me is that Uncle Shay Shay is a freaky ass nigga.
Yeah.
And that girl liked it rough. Just from their text messages, it's just very, very, very.
What's the word I'm looking for?
She fetishizes.
Oh, damn.
Fetish sizes. Is that what you said?
Fetish sizes.
She fetishizes black people, black men, and like race play.
They roll
and put that baby gravy in me.
Baby gravy?
Give me that. These are the text messages. Give me that big black baby.
Now
put that big black baby in me. Like this is.
So that's
when those text messages came out. I was done with the case. Now Shan's a dirty old man for fucking with a 19-year-old. Because what are you doing?
And that's why he said put the whole tape out, because you can probably see in a tape her baiting him. Me,
no, it been role playing is what you're gonna see.
Yeah, it worked.
That's what you're gonna see. Yeah. Kept talking to her about choking her in text messages and on the phone. That's what they do. That's a continuous thing. That's their relationship. You say something, I talk to you this way, you get in line, and then we meet up. There's this huge sexual energy. That's a buildup.
Yeah.
That's what I read from that.
Yeah. I've been in those situations
before. I have not. You a freaky ass nigga too.
I had sex tape. Oh, I throw the nah, that type of stuff. I'm just saying, like, being with someone and, like, doing something, recording it, sharing it with your person.
Yeah.
It, people do that all the time. Yeah. Now.
Okay.
I'm not up for $100 million contract that week either.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? So you gotta know that money plays a part in everything. You know what I'm saying? You can't forget who you are, even though you're in your freaky state of mind. Right? You know, when we having sex, your mind usually is going. It's in another place.
Yeah.
I don't have sex if I got to think about bills. I'm not in the mood.
Right. Right.
You, when you're having sex, your mind is in a different place.
Yeah.
But as a celebrity, you have to be mindful of it. Well, because he was like, y'all heard him say, I'll doubt the video. Mm-hmm. So he probably let her record, mm-hmm. or he recorded and sent it to her and deleted it.
His
phone ever came out.
And the thing is, you can't even nowadays, especially with AI, you can't even trust that if you record on your phone, that's you're not the only one who sees it. Even if you don't send it, it gets imported into a cloud. Somebody is managing that. DevOps engineering is real. Somebody is operating behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Snapchat, like, even when people are like, oh, it dissolves, it goes, it disappears. Yeah. Don't think it's going to a database. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be careful.
Be super careful.
Just be careful.
All right.
So, and if you're freaky, just be freaky, man.
Yeah.
The shit. Red in your spoon. He can't weaponize it. If everybody knew Uncle Shay Shay was high steel man, would he get the brands that he got right now? Probably by
start collecting your receipts.
You're about to lose them.
My whole thing is like, what's wrong with being freaky? Everybody's freaky, bro. If you're ready to think about it, bro.
You want to leave your face? Yeah, freaky.
Like, everybody's freaky.
Yeah.
Welcome on judge, bro.
But even with her being young, she's still legally
she's of age.
You know, morally, that just depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
My morals, I'm not doing that. I taught high school. Like that's way too close to the girls that was in my class. Like that's nasty to me. But you don't have that experience. You may not look at a 19-year-old girl in the same way that I would. That's just I can't necessarily judge you for that, but I know we ain't on the same type of time.
Yeah. And for me, I can't be at a young woman either. What are we going to talk about? Like, I can't. You don't need to.
Ain't no.
For real. You got to be on the same page.
Yeah. You got.
You see what the invitation? It was all sex.
All six. All right. So last topic, man. This is sad. Kanye West, man. Steady ranting on X. Now I know my man loves attention, and I've been one of the people that when the Kanye West name comes, it's like, man, he misses mom. Hey, I'm out of that pocket.
Bro, I'm
sorry, I'm out of that pocket. Much respect, but bro, you're tripping, bro. The man goes on X and proceeds to say,
He's giving him fellatio to his cousin.
What?
From when his cousin was six or something like that.
It's like, you gotta stop knocking it. You've been really having to stop, but now I'm worried about it, bro. Like, will he do something to himself? Will he crash out and, because nobody's with him anymore. He's talking about everybody.
He has zero teammates. I don't know who is on his team at this point.
No fire. There's nobody to tell him anything. Go ahead, bro.
A conversation came up the other day about Kanye West in particular and his crashing out.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about the music industry in whole of what takes place behind the scenes that, you know, I'm going to use, for instance, Lil Nas X. You know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, he is a puppet in this industry from how he came out to what they're doing now and all of the different things. And so Slam made a point and they were saying, like, is Kanye West crashing out because he's been exposed too much in what's taking place in the industry? He's not for it. He's like, okay, let me speak out about X, Y, and Z. Let me figure out how I can, you know, just, I don't know how to describe it. But when they mentioned it, it made sense because you could be exposed to information overload. Can expose you to too much to where you start crashing out. He just says whatever. Like, you can saw on Instagram, he was saying, I should have married Paris Hilton. I should have had babies with Paris Hilton. Think about how many hotels my children would have other than Kim Kardashian. So I'm like, dang.
Oh, yeah. That was her assistant. Kim Kardashian was her assistant.
But nah, I hear that, but nah. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because he was doing it at first. Remember when he was like, this ain't Rosto. That ain't Rosto. Y'all remember him crashing out on Sway? Or he's on Sway and the Boy. He was doing that then. He had too much information in. Cause him was talking about how they wouldn't let him into the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Kanye has led our culture in fashion. Whether we want to say it or not. His shoes, crazy. The way he dressed, crazy. The way he oversized this, oversized that. His sneakers were out of here.
Yeah.
Before you start doing all this extra shit. So with Kanye, I ain't trying to hear no more.
No.
There's no more excuses for him. We're all out. The black community just wanna say, man, what the fuck? We ain't even, you know what I'm saying? You wearing a goddamn Ku Klux Klan.
Hit
a week. You look foolish, bro. And you're one of our greatest. Why are all of our greatest musicians crazy than a motherfucker, man?
They're being exposed to other things that we have no idea about. Even with, I know this is crazy, but it was a video that resurfaced about 2 months ago, and they were bringing up Whitney Houston's death and how they were saying that Ray J was a part of the element, because I didn't know Ray J and Whitney were even close. Oh, that time. And just how they found her in the tub, and her sister actually came out and said that that was something that they had a pact with. When she travels, when she's on tour, she never takes a bath in a tub, you know? So the fact that they said she found her in a tub and things of that nature, it just makes me think about what is really taking place under the table that nobody have no clue about.
Well, yeah, I mean, the industry is a different world, period. I mean, if you go out to LA, it's a whole different world out there. So, you know, going back to even Shannon Sharpe messing with a 19-year-old, the way they live out there in those rich places is different, because white men do it all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time, and nothing is said about it. White men always have young women. But see, in the black community, it's kind of like, we kind of tell like, oh, what's up with you, bro? She 19. You know, we'll look at our people like that. Yeah. White people, to me, this is just my prayer. I don't know what they do. I don't know of a white shade room or nothing. But they don't they don't really care like that. As long as the person is of age, I guess. I mean, no.
He news is their shade.
He news. That is crazy. And it's
a different level. Crazy.
But. Yeah, Kanye, man, we're going to pray for you, bro. That's all that. You want attention, but all we can do is pray for you at this point, bro. I don't even want to hear that shit. I'm Glock, bro.
Glock Kanye, bro.
high attention is
the only thing I don't like about this, and it's just breathe some narcissistic Kanye, man. The get back to his relationship with his cousin.
Yo, yeah.
Following that tweet where he reveals that, he also says, I feel guilty because I feel like me doing that to him led him to the life that he lived. And if you know, he went to jail for killing somebody. He's in jail for murder. And Kanye took credit for it. Oh, like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah. I know that part.
Yeah.
He called
Boosie, bro. All right, bro. It's time to go.
He called Boosie, bro. He told Boosie not to say
smell porn.
This man is...
I laugh.
He's off his rocker. Like, seriously, in an amazing way. So, man, all we can do is pray for him, man. That's crazy. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Y'all got anything else y'all want to talk about before we get out of here?
June 1st, each day, come have a good time, come dance, come drink a little
bit. Do y'all need personal dances, like a J-Lo, like a... You know, like a Living Color type of thing.
I mean, if somebody want to, like, if we can get a team of, you know, beautiful women that keep dance, that want to dance alongside the DJ booth on some background dance. We could do it. I'm going to get the best year out of doing it. Y'all dance?
Yeah. Michelle dance? Right? Y'all dance?
Ooh. I pay in vibes.
Next week, y'all, we turn it up next week, okay? Next week is my birthday. Oh, May 4th. Listen, you.
Out of 10.
I know. Wishing you one year.
3 out of 10.
With turn up for the life. I'll be Jen.
Take a shot. Yeah. You do your crash course after this movie.
But y'all pull up to the Hive. We're going to have a great time. Listen up, my mom bring food. Ooh, you know, the next day, Cinco de Mayo, we're going to have a little taco. You know, hello, not him. You know, a little drink for the week. You know, you never know. But y'all pull up.
August 2nd, I'm going to have a Uncle Luke Freako for my birthday. Yeah, it's going down. The whole Hive will be filled with lovely day.
Nah, I just but seeing a human people.
Nah, but this has been episode 346 of the Poor Horseman Podcast. We out.
Brought to you by Bait Old Brian.
Yes, sir.
Peace out.